Our friend Lance made that. So thank you, Lance, for making that. We really appreciate it. It's really cool. And it's fun for me, at least. I'm kind of putting words in Josh's mouth here, to try and work with other people and collaborate. And even with Josh and I, there's at least in my mind, certain times where I'm like, all right, I don't know if I should ask Josh to do this, if he wants to do this. It's fun working with your friends. At least I think it is. So anyways, the first big announcement that I want to give out, I guess, is that I graduated from Michigan State. The first caveat is that, like, I still have to take a summer class, which is really annoying, but I, like, walked across the stage, got my fake diploma, and it was really weird because I was thinking, since kindergarten or preschool, what is it, like 4 years old, that I've been considered a student for the past 18 years of my life. And I think it was David was talking to me about this, how you think of, or maybe it was one of my friends were talking about how, like, we kind of, in our head, we see life as like two semesters and then summer, and then two semesters and then summer. And that's all because we've experienced school our entire lives. But now, for me at least, there's no more school. There's no more formal school. And I cannot imagine any sort of scenario where I go back to school. I'm not interested in going to law school. I don't think I want a master's. So I'm done with school forever, which is so weird because that's all I've done for my entire life. It's like I'm retiring from a job that I've had for the past 18 years. And I have mixed feelings about it. It's definitely, for the most part, a feeling of like, yes, it's finally over with. One second. I'm just checking to see if this is actually focused on me. Okay, I think that's good. And it's weird because I'm sitting in my apartment right now, and part of the reason I thought this would be cool to do this kind of side-by-side episode where I talk by myself and then Josh talks by himself is because Josh and I are in completely different scenarios. Josh has already started his full-time job. I'm trying to find an internship. Nobody's responding to me. So we're in very different spots. He moved to a new apartment, and I'm sure he'll talk about that in his little portion. But I'm at this weird crossroads where I'm like, what am I doing with my life? What is the rest of my life going to look like? How am I going to make a living? Where am I going to live? Just all of these crazy things. And I'm trying to, my like default mode right now is just be like, oh my gosh, super overwhelmed. Like, this is not going to work out at all. But as I sit here and earlier today, I'm kind of like, all right, look, like, enjoy this part of your life. Enjoy what it has to offer, the uncertainty and the openness of it, because it really could go in any direction. And that's fun, and it's scary. It's really scary, but I'm just, as they say, like, if it's meant to work out, it'll work out, or whatever, some platitude that is really just meant to make you feel better about the unknownness of life. And yeah, it's just weird that I'm no longer a student. Even like I drove through campus today to do our recycling, and I was like, wow, I don't need to go into these buildings anymore. I'm no longer associated with Michigan State University as a student. And it's just weird. And I just can't believe that I'm 22 years old, quite honestly, as I'm looking out the window, like, what is my life right now? But I'm happy, I'm excited, but also it's like, whoa, this is really scary. I feel like I'm just repeating myself right now. But I guess one thing that I am really scared about with graduating like formal school is that I'm afraid that I won't learn anything else, or I just don't want to become that person. And that I wasn't going to talk about this until later, but I'll talk about it now. In our book club, which I think I originally had heard in a podcast, there's this question of what three adjectives, if like someone was to describe you to someone else, what three adjectives would you want them to say about you? Or the other kind of more morbid version of that is, what three adjectives would you want etched into your gravestone? And that has been a very like guiding question for me to think about and kind of be like, I want to be like this, but sometimes I'm like this, so just trying to make those two meet in the middle a little bit. And I think one of the things that I want to be on my gravestone that people say I was is like curious and someone who was a lifelong learner. And And it's weird because I took this boxing class this past semester, and the first day of boxing, I was very nervous about it because it's weird. As a guy, you feel almost like you should know how to throw a punch, but I've never gotten an organized fight in my life or like a street fight or anything like that. And hopefully I never do, but you feel like, oh yeah, I should know how to throw a punch and I should know how to do this. But then you throw a punch at the bag and you're like, I don't know how to do this at all. And it's such a weird motion and you feel it's weird and uncomfortable. And in doing it in a classroom setting in front of like 30 or 40 other people, not that the people are even watching in the first place. That's just like a trick that your mind is playing on you. They're like, oh my gosh, everyone else in the class is watching me box. Like, they're going to make fun of me. It's like, no, actually everyone else is thinking the same thing. They're like, holy shit, I don't know how to throw a punch. But it's weird because I could feel my ego almost getting in the way. Like, oh, this is stupid. Like, I don't need to know how to throw a punch. Or like, what are the, I don't know. It just, this weird part of me, this part of me that I wish didn't exist was like, oh, whatever, like, who cares, it's just a punch, like, I don't need to learn this. But it's like, no, like, you learn, in learning something, you learn something else, too. You learn about yourself, but you, just because you're learning about boxing, you also learn a lot about life, and that kind of, I don't know where I was going with that. It made more sense in my head before I said it, but I'm going to take a sip of my tea right now. So yeah, it's just a weird point in your life, trying to figure out what you want to do and whether or not like everything's going to work out. It's just scary. Yeah, that's about all I have to say. I've only talked for 7 minutes. No, I'll keep going. But what else did I write down here? Oh, I guess I could talk about like the last week and a half of college. And as you can tell, I'm a little bit sick right now. And that is 100% because of the last week and a half of college. It started out with, we went out on a Sunday night, which is, stayed out till 2 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday night, which I'm not very proud of now, but it just felt right in the moment. I was like, you know what? I've been wishing all this time away. My entire college career, or my time as a college student, I was like, all right, I want this to be over with. I don't really like partying that much. I just want to move on to the next phase of my life. But I tried to really embrace that, you know what, I'm in college right now. I might as well go drink on a Sunday night and go hang out with my friends and all those sorts of things that are typical, like stereotypical college things. With that being said, I do not need another sip of alcohol for a very long time. So the bender went from like Sunday night to like Saturday night. And I remember when we were all going out on Saturday night, we're like, oh, I really wish we didn't have to do this. Like, I would much rather just get a good night's sleep. Like, there was a time span from Thursday night until that next Sunday where I think I stayed up past 2 every single night. And I wasn't on, like, the Thursday night before, I was finishing up a video project and doing some other class stuff. But if you know anything about me, you know that like I like to go to bed pretty early. I don't like to stay up late, but that's all I did. So I got sick because of it. One of the nights I slept for 90 minutes. That was because I waited until the final second for a school project. But like I said, it's college. It's all about waiting until the last minute, I guess. I don't really know. But back to the three adjective things. Does that... I'm asking this question like someone's actually going to respond, but I'm trying to think of what other adjectives I'd want on my gravestone. I think like curious / questioning is something I definitely would want to have on there. And as maybe interesting would be another one. Cause as I'm saying this, I'm like, dude, you're being so boring right now. So hopefully someone is still listening to me talk. But yeah, that's, I don't know. I guess ask yourself about that. What three adjectives do you want to have on your gravestone, hypothetically, and where are you at in relation to that right now? Because if I think of the three adjectives I want on my gravestone, and then I think of what would be put on my gravestone if I were to die today, there's a big gap between those two things. So trying to, as I said earlier, bring that gap closer together is something I'm trying to do. And I guess this kind of sort of segues into the next thing I wanted to talk about. I read this interesting article and it was talking about like what your ideal day is. And I was like, oh, what an interesting question. Like if you could do anything today, or if you could construct your like perfect day, what would that look like and what would you do in it? And I was thinking about mine. I was like, you know what? I'd like to get up relatively early, not crazy early, maybe somehow see the sunrise, have some coffee, and like read and exercise. And it's weird because, at least for me, those are all like, I want to be doing really productive things, but some days I find myself not doing those things, even though it's the things I want to do. And that's, it's kind of weird. Like, it's weird to me that we can't do the things that we want to do, even though we want to do them. I don't know if I'm talking in a circle right now or if this is making any sense to anyone, but it's just weird. Life is weird, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. And, Josh, I hope your little snippet goes, your little talking segment goes better than mine, because this is pretty rough right now, dude. Yeah, I don't really know what else I'm thinking about. Oh, the ideal day thing. Yeah, it's just, your ideal day, like, I feel like at some point within any day, I need like an hour to where I just go away from everyone, whether that's into my room or like just kind of go on a walk away from people. And I don't, because of that, it makes me seem or makes me feel like I'm an introvert, but I don't know if I'm an introvert or extrovert. I also don't know why I'm talking about this right now, and I sort of have to blow my nose, but I'm going to pretend like I don't. Oh, this is something I want to talk about. So I wrote down here, car analogy. And I was going through my books today. I was going through my books doing this, like I do this indexing thing where I write down the page number, and then like if there's something interesting or something I don't remember, I put an index in the front, like front cover of the book, so I can reference back to it. And I did a really good job of, I always write in the books I read, but sometimes I do a really bad job of like making the index part. I'm like, oh, I'll just do that after I read another book. So today I like indexed like five or so books, and I was kind of flipping through, and I was looking at this one book, and I wrote down this one analogy on one of the pages that I was very happy with. And it was talking about how if you, when you turned 16, were given a car, and they're like, here you go, this is your car. It's a really nice car. It's a sports car. Everything's perfect about it. And maybe there's a few things wrong, but you get the point. It's a nice car. And they go, yeah, this is your car, but this is actually the only car that you get. There's no refunds. You can do some tune-ups, but you can't, if anything goes too wrong, can't fix it. And I was like, what if you applied that same thing to yourself, your body, because you only get one body and this is all you have. You could do some tune-ups, but other than that, you're kind of stuck with what you have. But so many people treat themselves like shit, myself included. I'm better at the part of like I eat good foods most of the time. I do that stuff, but like the mental part, it's like I would never say the things that I say to myself that I would say to a car, or like that I would never say the things that I say to myself to other people, or I would not treat myself, or I treat myself how I would never treat someone that I would call a friend. And it's just weird how we get in this relationship with ourselves that is so, it's so bad. Like so many people are just filling themselves up with like the crappiest food because like it tastes good for a second, but then afterwards, at least for me, like you eat something that's crappy and you're like, oh, that was really good. And then 5 minutes later, you're just like, why did I do that? And you're upset with yourself. And it's, yeah, you just think about how often if you had one car for your entire life, first of all, how carefully you would drive. Second of all, how often you'd get the oil changed, and just you'd pay attention to the tire pressure, all these things. You'd treat it like it was your baby. And yet people treat their own body so poorly. Does that make sense? Is this any bit helpful to anyone? So yeah, I guess I already talked through all those things. Where am I? Yeah. So, and for the people that are just listening, I have a little list under my camera, so that's what I'm addressing when I sort of mumble to myself. But then again, this entire thing is me just talking to myself for like 16 minutes. And I'm actually kind of excited for this to be over with, because it's a little bit of a struggle for me to talk right now because I'm a little bit sick, but I'm going to keep talking because everybody knows I love to talk. The other thing that I actually want to speak about that I've been hopping back and forth with, like, oh, I should talk about this, I should not talk about this, it's uncomfortable for me to talk about, and I figured, you know what, I'll scare myself a little bit. And that thing that I want to talk about is music. So if you are like close to me, you know that I'm really interested in music and I really like music. I like to sing. I don't know if you guys know that. If you drive around with me in the car, you definitely know that because I sing in the car. But over the past, I'd probably say a year and a half, I've like experimented with like singing and rapping and like all like just trying to make music. And it's been a really, really interesting endeavor, because I'm so scared to tell other people about it and show other people. And like with my videos, I have no problem putting myself out there like, hey, this is my life. Like, a lot of people would be weirded out to sit in front of a camera for 17 minutes and just kind of talk. I have very little problem with that. It's not hard for me. But right when I try to like sing or express myself in that way, I just get weird. Like, it's hard for me to even talk about that. And actually last summer, probably about a year ago from now, I made a bet with Josh, and the bet was that I gave him $50, and if I didn't put out like a piece of music within the next month, then he would get to keep the $50. And if I did put out a piece of music, I would get the $50 back, and then he would also give me like 10 or 15. I think that was the bet. It was something along those lines, but I didn't do it. I failed. So I gave Josh $50. So you're welcome, dude. That's, I would love to have that $50 back. But the point I'm getting at is that it's so weird to look at the spots that cause tension for you I'm so glad that I'm stumbling upon this, because I listened to this awesome Tim Ferriss podcast with this artist named Amanda Palmer, and she said this one thing in there, and the question was that she was asking, that she often asks herself, is what are you not willing to feel? Like, what emotion will you not tolerate where you go like, oh no, like I don't talk about that, or I don't dance that way, I don't sing like that in public. And kind of trying to figure out why that is. And I've been thinking a lot about that. And I'm wondering why I'm so afraid to sing. Like, it's a huge deal for me to even sing when my roommates are home. And, like, it's just weird to, like, expose yourself in that way. Or, like, I don't know. Singing is a weird thing. Especially when it's your own words. And it's like, whoa, that, I did not know that I had that feeling inside of me. And even if I never do publicly like release a song or anything like that, I think it's been so beneficial to kind of play with that feeling of, God, this is weird to say, this is weird to like express, and why is that uncomfortable, and why does my throat kind of close up a little bit when I try to sing this certain way, and why do I get super nervous about that, and try to figure out why that is in the first place. It's like, why do I need other people, or why do I care what other people think about me? Because I do, and I do want validation. And like the few people that I have sent like little pieces of the music that I made, I'm always hoping that they're like, oh my gosh, that's really great, like you should release that somewhere, but they don't. And it's like, well then why, what am I doing this for? Am I doing this for me, or am I doing this for other people to say like, oh good job, you're doing a good job? And it's like, no, I'm doing this for me. I like to do this, it's fun, it's scary, and it's cool. I think it's cool, and it's fun to suck at something and to get better at it. Because if I listen back to the little recordings that I made a year ago, they're like so much better than the ones I make now. The ones I make now are still shitty, but they're better than the ones I made then. It's cool to see some sort of improvement. So, and even if you're not into singing in the least bit, another thing that you could kind of experiment with this is dancing. And I love to dance. I don't really get weird. Like, I can dance in public and not get weirded out. I don't know what it is, but there's this exercise that was in this Aubrey Marcus book, and it's where you turn on some like kind of like dance music, techno type deal, and you turn off your lights, and you stay in your room, and you just kind of close your eyes and like dance the music, and only like, and kind of figure out where your boundaries are and figure out like, all right, it feels weird for me to like move with my shoulders like this because I'm a guy and guys don't dance like that. Or it feels weird when I move my hips a certain way. And this is something you could do in your own room by yourself. No one else needs to know about it. You can have your headphones in, lock your door, and just kind of explore that and figure out, why am I afraid to move or talk or sing in these certain ways? And I think you'll find out something about yourself. At least I have, in the whole endeavor of trying to sing and just being worried that like, oh my gosh, if I do this, someone's going to make fun of me because it sucks. And someone probably will, but it's like, whose problem was that? Is that my problem or your problem? Because if someone's making fun of you for trying something, it's probably because they're insecure to try it themselves. At least that's true for me when I've made fun of other people for trying to like do their own thing. It's like, I'm the one with the problem, not the person who's trying to go outside of their comfort zone. And yeah, it's been really interesting to do that. I don't know if I'll ever release anything publicly, but what I am going to do as before I end this little diatribe and speaking thing. And that's the other thing about the singing, is it's so like cathartic. You kind of get your emotions out. At least I do. And I'm just repeating myself at this point, but I'm going to, before I'm done talking, oh, there's the camera's going to switch things real quick. But between my little speaking portion and Josh's, I'm going to quickly insert a snippet or two of me singing just to kind of break the ice of me being afraid to publicly share what my voice sounds like when I try to sing or rap or whatever you want to call it. So you can either root for me for putting myself out there and trying something new, or you can laugh at me and make fun of me. Both of them are acceptable and accepted. But yeah, I'm really nervous to do this. My hands are a little bit sweaty, and at least I don't have to sit in front of the camera while I play these things. But oh gosh, I don't. Yeah, I guess try and scare yourself sometimes. It's good. All right, see ya. Round and round, Mr. Town, new state of mind. Demons I've been facing, mine. Tell you the truth, I don't need it. I got it. I'm so tired of hiding it. I feel like I'm Taylor Swift. Don't know what to say to you. She's so sweet, tomato soup. She's so good, she feel guilty. She's my little grilled cheese. That shit tried to kill me. That shit tried to kill me. Pass it back, watch Kill Bill. Mom, please take a chill pill.
I started working at the company called Z-Bart. I'm having a great time working there. I had to do some job shadowing, checking out different Z-Bart locations. I did a little personal interior detailing, exterior detailing to my car. Not too much exterior, but my interior is looking spot on. I got cool cups to prove that I work there, and all around it's pretty darn dope. I'm working as it's basically a two-man team with the head video person and then myself as the video editor. So my job, it's kind of exciting because they don't really know what my job's gonna be in 6 months from now. I could have a lot more responsibilities. I could have this and that. So I'm really curious to see how things shape up as they continue and as I start to evolve into a video editor, into a young professional. And everything's going very well with work. It's pretty intense because working is a beast in of itself. Like, gosh, 9 to 5, they're not kidding with that. I just get home from work and it's hard to say. So for those that don't know or aren't in my life all the time, what the heck, what are you doing wrong? For those that don't know, I am currently living in Detroit. And so I just moved down here. I'm living a little bit outside of Greektown, so it's super close to the city, super easy access to get to wherever I want in the city, super fun. But basically, I've moved into my apartment, so I started work on the same week I moved into a new apartment, and then on that same week, I moved in all the furniture. We had to do tons of shopping. It's just ridiculous how much shopping you have to do and how much moving and all those things you have to do for your own apartment. It's like, man, you need spice. You need everything from spices for food to chairs to bed sheets to how you're going to get the futon, or not the futon, the bed and the mattress in, and then your computer desk. And there's just so much to everything. And I'm very peculiar with my setups and how I want my chargers and how I want all these different things. So that's really been a doozy in of itself, to trying to get everything to where I want it to be. But no, nonetheless, all I'm trying to get at is there's just a lot to everything that's going on right now. There's a lot to do, period. But there's a lot of, from working to getting home and then moving in more and then making dinner, and then I can't keep my eyes open by 9. And so it's adjusting to waking up early, maybe taking naps during my lunch break. Who knows? But no, work is good. I'm really excited to get comfortable, get in a routine, start getting used to some routes, or running routes, biking routes throughout Detroit. I want to be like a little Lance Armstrong in Detroit. I'm like the Flash. I'm like Barry Allen flying around the city. But yeah, so work's been good. Work's been good, but tiring. That being said, working out is not easy. And I think part of it is there's so much new that I can't get in any sort of routine. The other day I tried to read a little bit, but it's just like I need to start setting time aside. And it's difficult when you get up at 6 or 6:30 or so, and from 6:30 till I get home at 5:30 or 6, or maybe 5:30. When I get home at 5:30, that leaves me like 4 hours to do everything. And so I don't know if it's maybe me waking up earlier to get things done. I don't really know. We will kind of see. It's an interesting process in of itself. But for those that are looking to move soon, really make a discipline of like, okay, even though I'm not going to a gym, maybe I should go for a run today and keep something consistent. Because that's what I really struggled with, is I kept telling myself, well, I don't have a gym. I don't have a gym membership. I want to get something soon. But at the same time, I could have went for runs. I could have went down the street and on the Dequindre Cut and ran all the way to the Eastern Market or some fun thing like that. But I just kept making excuses. So I'm telling you not to make those excuses. One thing I've been doing somewhat regularly and at my lunch break at work is meditating. And recently the program I use is Waking Up with Sam Harris, and they came out with a group meditation. I just thought that was so peculiar. But then at first I was like, well, I thought meditation was like, but then as I thought about it more, a lot of times when you go on meditative retreats, you're going to the shaman of some sorts, and they are guiding you throughout this, and they're guiding a group. It's not just a solo experience. And so at first I was like, okay, group meditation, whatever. But at the same time, I'm starting to realize maybe it'd be kind of fun even if it was at your work, even if it was with your buddies every night or your roommates or something, if everybody sat down and did a 10 minute session, it'd be pretty dope. And just to grow together, because I think that's one of the most powerful things when you go on these meditative retreats or something along those lines, is you get everybody involved in it. So people grow together. I mean, for example, a basketball team gets better as everybody gets better, because as some people figure things out that other people aren't figuring out, they help the others, and that balance starts to rise together in a sense. And so I thought it was a pretty interesting concept that for some reason I haven't really wrapped my mind around. But one thing I was trying towards the end of my classes in college, I graduated. I don't know, Andrew might have mentioned that. Graduated. It's pretty cool. Graduated, and yeah, it was fun. So, but meditating, I was trying to do meditation in an external environment. So I was sitting in my coffee shop, tossing in a couple earbuds, and sitting there for 10 minutes with my eyes closed, breathing, not breathing loud, but just getting lost. And man, that is hard. Oh my gosh. There's something about keeping your eyes closed while you're around a lot of people for a long time that is so scary. And I don't think I'll do it in Detroit. Nothing against Detroit, but just in general, it just kind of scares me in doing it anywhere. But that's beside the point. I'm sitting there with my eyes closed and you just get so lost. And not lost, but you get so nervous. That's what I meant to say. You get so wrapped up in, okay, what is someone going to do while my eyes are closed? Things could be taken. You could get stabbed. It's just wild what your mind goes to. And you literally, I'm sitting there with my eyes closed trying to meditate, but at the same time, my mind is going to just these horrific possibilities. And there is just something really strange about meditating while you're around a lot of people, just because automatically you assume things are going to happen to you. But that being said, it's really fun to mess with that and really acknowledge that, okay, I'm freaking out, but I don't need to at all. I'm sitting here thinking everybody in this whole coffee shop, this whole wherever you're at, is staring at me, when in reality, nobody cares what you're doing. You just should be doing your own thing. And it's just funny because you think you're this so important person and everybody cares about you, but in reality, I don't know, the 5-10 times I've done it, I don't know if anyone's really ever noticed, but I just convinced myself they have. I don't know. It's pretty interesting. I was going for a run recently, and my dad always says, he's like, if you want to meditate, just run. And he always talks about how he has these problems, or he's trying to think of a movie actor, and he refuses to go to Google, and he talks about whenever he goes on a run, like all of a sudden, he was struggling to think of something a week ago, and he goes for a run, and boom, it's there. He can think of it. And so he always talks about how when he goes on runs, well, he goes on runs for the purpose of trying to think of something, or think of new something, or let something process. He even said how when he was in meds or PA school, he would study for 2-3 hours and then go for a long run and let that stuff marinate, let it process. Oh my gosh, it's pouring outside. But basically just the whole sense of running to really bring your brain to this new state or in this new relaxation. I don't know. But I did this thing the other day. I went for what I would like to call a Forrest Gump run. I just went out, no agenda, and I usually run with an Apple Watch and a phone, had nothing. Was basically naked out there. And so I go for this run. And I typically run this 3-mile route, and it was a light rain, 45 degrees, and I start the run, and I'm like, wow, my legs just feel fantastic. But I go for a 3-mile route that I love to do, and as I'm finishing this 3-mile route, I'm just kind of sitting thinking, I don't need to go back yet. I have no agenda today. I'm just gonna see what happens. So next thing you know, I keep running. And I get into the mindset of running where it's a really cool thing when you don't have a pace to look at, you don't have a distance thing to look at, and it does stink at the end because you'd love to be like, ah, yeah, look at me, I ran 11 miles, I'm amazing. But at the same time, it's really, really nice to run with no destination in mind. You're just really running to the meditative effect or the meditative benefits. And so I was in this run and it's not like, so let's for example, let's talk in, I'm not going to draw it with my hands. I have to talk this verbally. So let's say I'm running from A to B. And so when I run A to B, I'm trying to take the route as fast as I can to get there. And that's typically how I would do it if I was running with my watch or my phone or things like that. But when I was running during this no watch, no phone, no tracker, I noticed that whenever I saw something cool, oh, wow, look at this little bike path. I all of a sudden just deviated from my path a little bit from A to B, and it ended up making it a lot longer, but I didn't really care. I had no agenda, like I said. And so it was a really, really interesting thing that I was running purely for the enjoyment of it. And partially because of the weather and how I felt that day and all those things combined, I just was for some reason in the in a great mood. And I would maybe say I ran around like 10, 11 miles, something like that. But I was gone for like an hour and a half, and I was just chilling. Maybe running 9-minute miles. I have no idea. But I was just loving it. And I was waving to everybody that goes by. But basically what I was trying to get at in the first place was I came up for an interesting idea for a podcast. And I always struggle with this because I want to do something, but I don't want to do something that everybody's doing. Okay, welcome to the world. But I was trying to think of a thing that I really like to, I really enjoy, which one is podcasting. And two, a thing I was experimenting with is sort of creative writing. And it's amazing how if you start this creative story, how the creative process will finish itself. And so you write this story, you do this, blah, 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 and you can just depend on this creative process to finish it for you, in a sense. And so I'll start writing about the story I wrote the other day was just purely about how we're going to reach the bottom of the deepest ocean in the world. So I think it's the Pacific. And I like to sprinkle interesting facts throughout these stories just so that it's not 1,000% fiction. Actually, some of it's true, so you can have some takeaways. Nonetheless, I don't know why I told you that. But this, what's fun about it is you start the story, you have maybe something in mind, but you have no premise, and you just have a start. You have a beginning, an intro. And then from that intro, you start branching it, and then your mind gets excited when you think of this idea, and then you reference a movie, and then it gets this idea, and there's all these branches that come out of it, and it's just so fun to sit back and let this happen to you while you're writing. And so it's funny too, just everything ends up having a conclusion. I write it with literally no idea what the conclusion's going to be, but you end up coming up with some punny thing at the end that ends up being pretty funny. No. So I don't know. But I came up with this idea of creative writing. I said, well, it would be cool to write these stories. And this is all during this run. I am getting so deep into this, like all the details, how good it could be, how interesting it could be. And so I'm thinking, well, what if I wrote these stories and then I have guest readers? And so it's not just one person reading my stories that are 5 minutes long. All it is maybe you're on your ride to work. You hit play on my podcast, let's just call it my channel, and you listen to 8 stories, which amounts to 40-minute drive. And sure, it's 8 different stories, but it's 8 funny, super quick, ridiculous stories that have no really rhyme or reason, but they're just creative and enjoyable. And they hopefully make you laugh. And so all I'm saying is, yes, they're only 5 minutes, but they're a sense of you hit the top of the playlist and maybe you listen to all of them or something along those lines. So anyways, what I thought would be fun about it is, sure, I'll read different ones, use my say the words I want to say with different tones and things like that. And then other people do that differently. And so it'd be really cool to see how someone reads my script for them and or whatever that might be. And it would just be fun to experiment with different readers, even though I'm writing the story still. And so that was my thing I came up to or that I came up with on my run. And I'm thinking all these possibilities of how many stories I could do. And maybe I'm releasing one a week, but then after a while, there's 40 of them. So you can click the top and listen for this long and that long. And I don't know. It was a fun idea. And if anybody's enjoying listening to me, you should text me to do it because I still haven't pulled the trigger on it. But it seems like something fun. It seems like something different. I'm not used to. I have no experience in. But I like to creatively write. So yeah, otherwise, I think that's pretty much everything going on in life. Having to cook more, having to pack a lunch. So yeah, just kind of getting into the whole adulting of life and the adulting of living. There's a lot of money to spend if you need to, and there's a lot of stuff to do that saps up your time. The one thing you don't have extra things of, the one thing that's not tangible is time.